Rolex wearing. Woo! Diamond ring wearing. Woo! Kiss stealing. Woo! Wheeling dealing. Woo! Limousine ride. Woo! Jet flying. Woo! Sucking on a gun. Woo! And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down. They give me 2 claps and a Ric Flair. Woo!
Tim Livingston.
Emotional security is like the blanket that you tuck your soul in.
Pete Livingston.
You ready for Joe Buck to sex you up? Yeah. That's what I think he's saying. He's like, hey, you're about to sleep with Joe Buck.
And Sam.
This is our candy orchestra.
Mm. It's still going. Those are some good pop rocks.
Los Livingston Brothers.
Wait, aren't all the instruments in Primus bass?
No, there's a guitar and there's drums.
There is not a guitar.
There's like,
there
yeah, no totally
drums.
Is.
There's like two, like, there's more like 8-string guitars.
I'm pretty sure even the vocals are done by a bass.
Have you heard the vocals? They're not bass.
They're definitely not.
That's not bass.
9:19 in
the Yeah, we're starting off so hot.
It is Wednesday, January 6th, 2016.
Sorry, I had a scratch.
An itch that you had to scratch.
It was my favorite. It is the final episode of the Dynasty Podcast. Season 1 of the podcast, season 3 of our Dynasty. Again, just to recap.
All the champions are here.
Yes.
We should recap the first season tonight.
Yeah. Let's go way back in
Listen,
time.
Joe had a newborn, didn't know what was happening.
Since we didn't got do 17 podcast episodes about the first season,
we should.
Yeah. What about like, the second season?
We would like to report,
The second season was pretty good, too.
We would like to report that
the second season.
The Dynasty Podcast has been picked up for a second season.
It has been. So. We're very happy
like
about
to,
that.
Like to,
we'll have some special...
We have special guests. We're going to have some special guest directors, too. Quentin Tarantino might come in and direct an episode.
Blood. There's going to be blood. Yeah.
Hans Zimmer is going to do our intro. Yep.
There's going to be blood and feet when Tarantino's here.
Mm-hmm.
Is he into feet?
Hell into feet, dude.
Oh, see?
Yeah.
Don't ask him about it, though.
There's an IMDb tag for trivia that says director trademark, Quentin Tarantino, feet.
Really?
It's pretty bad.
Yeah,
I'm not a Tarantino guy. Mm. Not a big fan. So that's probably why I didn't catch that.
That's interesting.
I can see that.
I am Peter Livingston across from me, as always, with his, quote, robot penis.
His 12-inch.
My brother.
Hard.
My older brother, Timothy.
Cold?
Walter Livingston.
Yeah, pretty cold, actually.
Tim, say hello.
Hi. I didn't say hello. I said hi.
Wait, Tim, your middle name is Walter?
Yeah, Walter. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I never knew that.
Like Walter White.
No.
Except I don't move that blue. I don't move that blue.
To Tim's right and across from me, Tom Brady. I mean, Robin. Say hello, Robin.
Hey.
He is our El Presidente. Do you want to be the president, Mr. President, God President? How does this
God
work?
President?
How does this work?
God President?
Como tú quieres, mijo.
El Presidente.
El Presidente.
Say hello, Robin.
I figure we can stick with the
punto,
Mexican theme here.
Punto.
That's right.
And I don't have any decrees or important announcements.
Okay.
I'm really upset that I'm the only person in the room with a beer right now.
I was told in the group text there would be buzz balls.
Listen.
Until everybody proclaimed their New Year's resolutions.
It's not a New Year's resolution.
I said I could probably do one.
It's not a New Year's resolution.
It's a
health thing, you know? It's like, I'm going to get 2 good things out of taking a month off-ish from drinking. One,
terrible.
Maybe I'll lose a little weight. Maybe I'll feel a little better. 2, I'll know that I can actually go a month without drinking.
So this is more like hey.
that was the voice of our champion Joe Hardman. Joe
was doing
hello.
A month long.
Hello.
Even though you drank 2 days into the month and are going to stop 5 days short.
We're on vacation.
He's doing a month long.
We're on vacation. Didn't count. And then it's your birthday, so that
it's
like
really just gonna so be like just 3 weeks.
Just get a magic bullet. You'll
it's still a big deal. All right.
It is a big deal.
Just get me
the last time you went 3 weeks.
Just get a magic bullet. You'll be fine, man.
What's a magic bullet?
Sex toy.
Yep.
Is that kind of like a robot penis?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's what the
poop head gets. I know, that's what I call my robot
penis. It's what the poop head gets for coming in last place. He gets a magic bullet.
And that's why
AKA,
Tim has one. No.
So this was a crazy, topsy-turvy year. As always, people had to be working that waiver wire, making sure that they're getting the pieces in place to make that championship run. And so now that 2015 is behind us, I think we should just take a moment to look into 2016, since the 2015/2016 football season isn't even really over. We can at least
look That's true.
To the fantasy football season. But there's already been lots of interesting things happening in the world of football. Hirings, firings,
HGHs.
So many HGHs.
Giant ass foreheads.
So many HGHs.
Lots of HGHs.
Lots of H's and G's.
All of yes. them. All of them, really.
But some of that might affect some players that we could be looking at in 2016. So I'm going to go ahead and start with my top five quarterbacks for.
I think we should make a bet. And this is just for Robin and I, but you guys can listen. How many of the top five players that Pete and Tim choose will get injured before the start of next season?
Why are you roping my brother into this?
Hey, he had a nice little chunk of injuries.
You know what? I think everybody's had a nice little chunk of injuries throughout the year. I don't know if it's... I think so.
I lost Arian Foster and Mark Ingram. That was pretty much it.
Pretty much it? Or that was it?
That was it.
Okay.
I think I lost somebody else.
I lost Emmanuel Sanders for like... maybe 2 weeks, and that was it.
And McCoy.
Oh right, for my final week. Oh, and a couple weeks in the
and
yeah.
ODB like injury.
Yeah,
himself.
But that had nothing to do with whatever.
That was still an injury. There were more injuries. Listen, than we, I get it. It's the running.
I'm
joke.
A champion. It's the and I'll always joke. Be a champion.
I get it. I get it.
See, I put an S on that.
I see that.
My top five quarterback.
I didn't see it.
My number one quarterback for next year is actually Cam Newton. My second quarterback is Carson Palmer. The foolproof Carson Palmer. There are no bad matchups. It's impossible for him to have a bad matchup. Russell Wilson is my number three. Aaron Rodgers is my number four. And somebody who was not on the top five until some news that broke earlier today, Drew Brees, because his head coach will be staying there, Sean Payton. On the outskirts... I had originally, like I said, I had Drew Brees, and I also have Andrew Luck because, same thing, Chuck Pagano. But things are just weird and indie right now. I think he'll still be very good. I just don't
You forgot know. One person.
Tom Brady?
Tom Brady!
Or is it Robin? Like, Robin.
Robin.
My top
I have a terrible quarterback.
Robin Brady.
Yeah. Doesn't have much of an arm, but he's hard to bring down. Low center gravity.
Yeah.
He can curl up into a very tight ball, so it's hard. He doesn't give up a lot of fumbles.
You need a guy who can do the tuck rule? He's your guy.
That's right.
More interceptions than completions, but, you know, no big deal.
He goes in and kneels the football at the end of the game.
Been known to cry in the huddle.
Yeah.
You know.
Don't let them touch me. Don't let them hit me.
But still, fearless leader.
I think you could make an argument for Tom Brady.
I will, shortly.
Good.
In my top five.
Anybody else... Well, like that's my top five for quarterbacks, and
I think the rest of these other guys need some time to think
Go
about
ahead,
their
Rob.
Top five. So still my top five, I put Tom Brady number one.
Cool,
because I just feel like that's going to happen.
Because he's a really good-looking guy.
Yeah, pretty much. He's handsome and kind, and you know, just
kisser.
Generally good at everything. He's an excellent kisser.
He calls me in the morning.
Uses just enough tongue.
No and one. He was pretty close to the number one quarterback this year.
He was very, very
as,
good this
as
year.
Is.
Pissed so, off. Something needs to happen to piss off Tom Brady in this offseason.
Yeah. So that's what needs to happen. I think that will continue. And if he's outside the top three, I'd be surprised. I then have Cam Newton. I think we're watching him grow as a pocket passer, and I don't think that's going to stop.
No.
So he'll continue to dominate physically and then the run. But I think this year we saw him just flourish as a pocket passer, which is how you become a quarterback for years and years and years in the NFL. You know, he's developed the skills to be a quarterback when his physical traits are no longer what makes him dominant.
I think he kind of like shed the run. Like he was always kind of, oh, he's a good running quarterback. And now I think he kind of shed that. He definitely can still run. But
and does like every game except for the championship game.
Where he only scores 4 points.
Yeah. Third, I put Russell Wilson. Mm-hmm. I've hated on him most of this year. But in the last few games, it's maybe 6 games or so, he's been making a lot of plays, running, scoring touchdowns, throwing passes. And I also see a future with some of the receivers he has, specifically Lockett. Looks like he is going to make big plays in the NFL for a long time. And Baldwin has come on. And I think that Jimmy Graham will actually be a reasonable part of the offense next year. I also think that there's a good chance that Marshawn Lynch is gone. And perhaps the offense isn't quite as focused around the run. Maybe he develops a little more. So I think there's a good chance at Russell Wilson, who was, I think, a top 4 quarterback this season. Anyway, even with a pretty mediocre start. My final 4 or 5, I put Andrew Luck and Aaron Rodgers. I just don't see any way that the talent doesn't shine through.
Yeah.
And that Jordy Nelson coming back makes Aaron Rodgers much better. And I think that Andrew Luck was just not healthy this entire year.
Totally. I agree.
And my honorable mention is Carson Palmer as the 6th, just because he really has been injured more than he hasn't been. So I have trouble putting him in as a top 5. Just because I feel like at some point he's going to get injured again, and we'll be talking about injured Carson Palmer.
He's definitely able to stay off the ground a lot this year, but that does not mean that. Who knows what happens at the end of this year.
But if he stays healthy,
He's
got a ton of weapons.
He was matchup proof this year. There were plenty of situations where it was like, okay, so this defense, he's going to play at this place against this defense. He should struggle, and he just never did.
Well, he has three wide receivers that are two of them are near uncoverable, and the third one is just such a long-time pro that it just very few defenses can cover all three. I'm talking about John Brown, Michael Floyd, and Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Very few defenses can cover all three effectively with a quarterback like Carson Palmer that can see the whole field. So he's going to find ways to get you no matter what.
Yeah.
When he's healthy, he's as good as anybody.
My biggest hope for Russell Wilson next year would be, I think that it was pretty obvious they wanted to force Jimmy Graham to be a focal point.
Mm-hmm.
And it just wasn't working. I mean, your best bet would be, they're going to go a little bit away from the run. They'll still use it, obviously, because they're fairly balanced. But you have to imagine that Pete Carroll and all the staff are going to use Jimmy Graham. They're going to have their offense. They're not going to have him be the focal point. He's just going to be a piece of it.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think that they will find a way in the offseason to make the connection and make it work. And I think what a lot of us thought might happen last year with Jimmy Graham, which is that he'll be just a red zone monster for them, will still happen.
Yeah. And I do think that they have I said this last year, I do think that the Seahawks have the most underrated receiving core in the NFL. They're kind of like the no-name receiving, kind of like the Dolphins had the no-name defense. They're kind of like the no-name receiving core. They're just like quietly really good. Don't get a lot of respect. Who are some of your guys' top 5 quarterbacks for next year?
My top 5 is Cam Newton. Number one, as long as he's scoring those rushing touchdowns, he's always going to be the number one guy for me. Number two, Russell Wilson, because I actually think he's going to get a couple more rushing touchdowns this year.
Yeah, he was really low.
I kind of feel like this was a year that while he did develop his passing affinity, I think he's going to be the guy. I'm putting Aaron Rodgers at 3, because if there's anything that is apparent, that Eddie Lacy had a great year last year, they really depended on that. And then you lose Jordy Nelson, I feel you're going to see the offense go back to let's let Aaron Rodgers do what he does best. So put him at 3. Carson Palmer, 4. That offense is way too good. And also, if you have David Johnson in there as the running back next year, who's such a great pass catcher, makes that offense even better, which is scary. But my number five, nobody said him yet. Blake Bortles.
He was my number five until I heard about
He's got both those guys coming back. Him and Julius Thomas had a good thing. I think that, you know, the Jaguars have a chance next year to kind of make the quote-unquote leap, especially considering the AFC South is garbage.
They're going to be the Miami Dolphins that were supposed to be this year. That's going to be the Jaguars.
But Bowles is actually good.
We should also be honest, though, with podcast listeners. There were two quarterbacks in there that we know you don't care for that weren't white. We know you're on the white wagon.
Yeah, my bad. My bad about that.
You might need to
reassess. Do I need to do my top five black quarterbacks for next year?
None of them.
Nah.
Number
38.
So I think Russell the only Wilson one that in mine could be a number five, and it's super dark horse.
Is he black because he's a dark horse?
No, dark horse because he's young. And
is it because he's literally a horse with dark fur?
Oh, how'd you know?
Or hair. Horses have hair.
What?
Look at that. No, I'm going to say Tyrod Taylor.
Ooh.
The Taylor.
For that same stuff that we talked about with Russell Wilson and Cam Newton. He has weapons. They need to stay healthy.
And rushing touchdowns.
Exactly. Rushing touchdowns. He's a consistent passer. He just had some injury issues. You know, a little more strength, and now he knows what it's like to take hits in the NFL.
And he's not a rookie.
Nope.
He's been in the league. It's his fourth or fifth year now, or he's going into his fifth year, I think.
Yeah, long time backup in Baltimore. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, behind Joe Flacco, who is
elite
in the playoffs
in the month of January.
What if we just said that Joe Flacco is elitist?
I would be.
I mean, he probably
that.
Is.
Look I would at him. I would get behind that so face. Hard.
That smug son of a.
That smug.
Anybody else on the year?
I think they're pretty interchangeable. I put Cam at one, but I think the next three are pretty interchangeable.
I think so. I agree. And it is hard to believe. The only thing I'm worried about Andrew Luck is I feel like, I said this before, I kind of feel like you might have a little bit more of a Brett Favre-ish career because his interceptions have always been pretty high. And so I think that he'll get, you know, his touchdowns, but I think that he'll still be like a 20 interception guy.
Who are you talking about?
Next, Andrew Luck. He's always had.
Well, no, the highest amount of interceptions in the league this year was only 16. So, I mean, like, I think this as a whole.
That's because Andrew Luck didn't play the last five games.
Oh, I see what you did
but
there.
But if he did.
I see what you did there.
Somebody had 30 interceptions. Oh, that was Andrew Luck.
I see what you did there.
And I know that he was hurt for a few of them, but he's always kind of had a higher. When you look at other elite quarterbacks, he definitely throws more interceptions than the rest of them. I don't think he'll be – he's not as, like, crazy and wild as Brett Favre, but he kind of, like – I think he'll be that constant 40, 500-yard, you know, whatever, 30, 40.
So you're saying he's going to be Jeff George, that Matthew Stafford is no longer Jeff George, but Andrew Luck is going to be Jeff George?
Could be.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe.
I don't know. I think if they bring in – some talent on that line, and a receiver.
They had a terrible offense.
They have some young wide receivers that I think they're hoping that in their sophomore year, we'll be able to.
But the main piece is that line. Like if you keep him safe,
I'll give you a name right now. That if it happens, the one of the first places he'll want to go to is Indianapolis, and that's Joe Thomas. Thomas wants out of Cleveland.
Yeah.
If Joe Thomas goes to the Colts. Andrew Luck is going to have a tremendous year next year.
And I'm fairly certain I saw it the other week, but the Colts line, offensive line, graded out by Pro Football Focus was bottom third. So they were pretty bad, and I think Andrew Luck was hurt.
Yep.
So I mean, we know he was hurt, but I think he was hurt before we knew it.
Well, it says here he actually – that couldn't have been –
It says actually here that the shoulder issues were a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's move on to wide receivers.
No, Kaepernick? No.
No.
No, he's my sneaky play for next year. He's in my sneaky play.
He's going to play H-back.
He's sneaky because he'll steal your girl? He's
sneaky because he won't be drafted.
He's sneaky because he'll steal your girl. That's what he's sneaky.
My top five wide receivers for this year.
Pat Burrell?
Huh?
Hoo-hoo-hoo.
Pat the Bat.
Are we going to go there?
Oh, wow.
Top five wide receivers. Great. My number one wide receiver for next year is Antonio Brown.
He would be.
It's just almost at 2,000 yard receiving.
It's science.
Yeah.
With Roethlisberger out for like five games.
Now, here's the other thing. I wonder what's going to happen in New York, but I have Odell Beckham Jr. He's still an amazing talent. I don't know what's going to happen there with whoever's going to be the head coach. I'm assuming that they'll still keep their offensive coordinator. He could become the.
I mean, Eli Manning is going to stay, so I think he's probably safe.
Just wing the ball. They don't have any running backs.
That's what he did anyways, though. Except for Rashad Jennings once. No one cared.
Suddenly RB1.
Yeah, Rashad Jennings. Killing it.
Robin just like, sure.
Sure, why not?
Waka chicka.
I have Dez Bryant as my number three wide receiver.
Wow, ahead of Wow.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I don't think so.
Ahead of Julio Jones?
Yeah, I think Julio Jones.
Nicely done.
Julio Jones.
Reason being is I think that it'll be a big bounce back year for the Dallas offense. They still have their line. They'll have a healthy Tony Romo at the beginning of the year anyway.
At least for one
day. A healthy Dez Bryant at the beginning of the year anyway.
What's his recovery time on all of his surgeries? So is he going to be healthy?
2018, I think.
Is he actually though going to be healthy?
I think he will. Yeah. I think that they all will. And if he even can play about 14, 15 games, I think he'll be pretty awesome. I have Brandon Marshall as my number four wide receiver. And with the way Ryan Fitzpatrick throws the ball, which has always just been, he's not afraid to throw the deep ball. And Brandon Marshall and him were like this. He's kind of like the silent, really, really good wide receiver.
Since you can't hear the motion he made, he made a circle with one hand and then stuck his finger out and put it through said circle.
Basically the ultimate.
That's what I did. Mm-hmm. And then my number five wide receiver is Julio Jones.
I don't know how
I'm just going to go ahead and just start next.
Go for it.
All right, so I think Antonio Brown 1, Julio Jones 2, Odell 3, Allen Robinson 4, and that's as far as I got.
There's a fifth guy in there somewhere.
Well, I think fifth is like interchangeable. I mean, T.Y. is fifth.
No chance.
No, I think it's going to be Brown, Jones. Oh boy, that's
your microphone's backwards.
I take it. I did not mean T.Y.
Your microphone is backwards.
I got.
Oh no, it's not. You're right.
I got.
I meant DeAndre. I meant Hopkins. I meant Nuck.
I mean, five. I think you go Brown, Jones. Jesus Christ, any wide receiver is so weird.
We should have gone with the original format where the people that prepared went first so that you guys can think about
Listen,
it.
Listen,
let's go to Robin.
I think Robin, Beckham third.
I tried to go. I tried to go back around.
I think AJ Green fourth.
Okay.
And then Robinson fifth. Hopkins will be sixth. I still have zero faith that the Texans will actually go out and get a quarterback next year.
Did that matter this year, though?
It didn't, but I think the only way he pushes into the top five is if he gets a damn good quarterback.
Yeah, he's doing a lot of work to put up those numbers. I had him on. He was on the outskirts for me, but he was him and Allen Hurns were just outside my top five.
So I think wide receiver is probably one of the clearest ones for this, and it just goes that we have all said a lot of the same names, and I'm going to say names that have all already been said. Antonio Brown has had the most consistent of all of these guys over the last 3 years, and odds are that Roethlisberger will be healthy all of next season.
Even when he's not healthy, it's still worse. Somehow. He's like, he broke his knee, he's going to go back in and play and still throw like 300
He broke
yards.
His knee and he met a lady in the bathroom.
And Julio Jones, number two,
and by
same
knee,
thing.
He means penis.
He's just, until he proves otherwise, he's going to be number two. Odell Beckham Jr., third. He very well could be one, two, or three. I think any of these three, these first three, mm-hmm. Brown, Jones, and Odell Beckham, any of them could be the number one wide receiver next year. I have Hopkins fourth. He just showed freakish ability to catch bad passes and get open when he was not open. He was just untouchable on the field. I think that that's the kind of thing that is... that is bad quarterback proof. And then I have AJ Green fifth because he's AJ Green.
He's a very good player.
And then my honorable mention was Brandon Marshall because he showed by going to the Jets, I think a lot of people, he was a steal in the third round of our draft.
Oh, yeah, he was.
And he showed that he can make big plays no matter what, going from the perception at the time that Jay Cutler was better than whoever the Jets quarterback was which turned out not to be true.
Yep.
Maybe because of Brandon Marshall going there and being a dominant threat. So that's my.
Remember all the time that Jay Cutler was supposed to be good,
and
then he wasn't?
Yeah. The only thing that worries me about A.J. Green, it's not that he will be horrible. The only thing that worries me is that now Cincinnati has become, like, so balanced and that they have a lot of weapons, which is really good for them and their offense. And now all of a sudden they have a tight end they like to throw to, and they have two running backs. True. That's he's still going to get targets. His stats. He's still going to be in a borderline top five guy.
And because he's that guy who can get a 72-yard touchdown, and you're set.
He's really hard to cover.
And we saw it numerous times this year where he made a 40-yard catch, and in the process, two defensive backs tried to shoulder tackle him, and he just kind of spun away and somehow ran the remaining 20 yards for a touchdown. Because nobody wrapped him up. Because he's just got freakish balance. So, and even A.J. McCarron knows that you throw deep to A.J. Green. Yeah. So, regardless of who's there.
Or how bad their tattoo is.
Or what your tattoo is telling you.
Or whether you have full-on half sleeves and pectoral
and have Korean Alabama Jesus tattoos. They have Alabama Jesus. Alabama Filipino Jesus.
Filipino Jesus.
Good old Filipino Jesus. It's crazy. I'm looking at the top. I'll just do the top six. I mean, after Antonio Brown, you had Julio Jones, who had 239. Brandon Marshall, 230 points. Allen Robinson, 224. Odell Beckham, 223. DeAndre Hopkins, 220.
Yeah, and then there's a huge drop-off below that. Yeah.
Then it's about 30 points to Doug Baldwin, and then A.J. Green had 187.
And that could be that dark horse. I mean, Doug Baldwin, if he played like he has since bye week, he'd be high up there.
Yeah, but it just goes to show you how close after Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown and Julio Jones, that's actually pretty closely packed.
You know, nine points between Brandon Marshall and Julio Jones.
But yeah, those top five, after that, it goes under 200 points.
Yeah.
Well, the crazy with Antonio Brown, though, you have to realize the games that Roethlisberger didn't play, he was like sub 10 points.
Oh, yeah. No, he is very much reliant, for whatever reason, did not get thrown to when Roethlisberger, like literally, there were games where he got two or three balls thrown his way. It was really weird.
Look at Doug Baldwin at the number six wide receiver.
Yeah.
With 190 points. Yeah. Does this include week 17?
No. They only include stats for as long as your league goes.
Okay.
So those are our wide receivers. A question mark I have, Megatron, is he going to play next year?
I still don't think he's going to be up there.
Do you think that he will play but not be in Detroit? And if so, where would he go? I mean, there's plenty of places I would want to have him. Oakland.
Yeah, certainly.
He's going to Oakland.
He's got years left. Absolutely.
Oakland would be sick.
Let's go to running backs. I think this one will be interesting because I think that we'll have our own different take. Mm-hmm. I think there will be a few that are.
This is much less clear. I definitely, when I looked through this, changed things out multiple times and then kind of was like, ah, fuck it. I'm going to go with who I think's the best runners. And
yeah, this was the toughest one for me, I think.
Well, that tight end, which is just an S show.
Right. Yeah, I was like, Gronk.
One.
And then I was like,
Eifert. And well.
Same as last year. We'll figure it out.
Eifert, Kelsey. Actually, do you
get it? We're not on the tight end yet, Tim. Don't give us your list, you butthole.
Wow, hey.
Work on it in your head so that when it comes, you'll be
just
there.
Like.
I see what you guys are doing with it. Okay, but for running backs.
You'll be ready for it with your mouth open.
High five.
Where's your goggles?
Oh, I need my goggles.
Do you need your goggles?
I need my goggles. Thank you.
Life's better now.
Oh, there we go. Now I feel there's something missing. I had anxiety building.
I wear these in love for our president.
There you go. For running backs, one, I had Todd Gurley. He's pretty good at football. Number two, I have Devontae Freeman. Number three, I have David Johnson. Number four, I have Le'Veon Bell. And five, I have him making a bounce back. Even though, Eddie Lacy. I have Eddie Lacy as my number five.
You're a brave human being.
I feel brave for putting. I felt bad even just saying that.
I would feel bad too.
We only had two players in common on our top five.
I have a feeling it's Todd Gurley. There's one of them.
One of them, yes, definitely. Absolutely. I've already gushed about Todd Gurley enough times on this podcast.
All over Tim's face.
All over Tim's face.
But I wore my goggles.
Okay, Robin, your top five.
All right, so my top five, soon to be acquired in the Dynasty League in this following season, Adrian Peterson.
No.
Oh, man.
He's done for life, man.
He's still going to be the best running back next year in fantasy, regardless of
whether... Oh, you had him on there? Okay.
Whether we can draft him or not. Okay. Le'Veon Bell will be second.
I think we'll come back.
Devontae Freeman, third. Jamal Charles will be fourth. And Todd Gurley, fifth. With the honorable mention going to Doug Martin. I would explain these more, but I have no fucking clue why.
I would have put Doug Martin in the top five.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to, but I feel like Jamal Charles will be good. And, you know, if you eliminated Adrian Peterson from my list, then yeah, he'd be there. But
the only thing I'm worried about with Jamal Charles is...
That's now two ACL tears.
Yeah, but I think he'll still come back and he'll be good. But the one thing that I'm worried about is if he's a little bit older now. And I'm just wondering if they're going to split some carries a little bit more than they used to with him, since I know that they know that they have the horses. He's still going to get most of the touches until something happens.
Yeah.
That's the only thing I worry about, is if he could.
Yeah, I would put him number one, actually, right?
Boo!
Because this year, I think Kansas City has established that they actually have a passing game. I mean, if you look at last year, where he was number one overall last year, right? The passing was awful in Kansas City.
Well, yeah, it was just they just had a...
I mean, tight end touchdowns, right? So I think Macklin brings in a whole new piece. And even if he's sharing carries, he's going to have those breakaway runs. The injury doesn't really bother me that much.
And the dump-off passes from Alex Smith.
He was seventh last year.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think 2013 he was.
He was number one. Okay. Yeah, in
2013. I don't know.
DeMarco Murray had a crazy
year
last year.
Oh, right. DeMarco Murray, which is irrelevant.
Yeah.
But that's so there's all this chatter about him going back to Dallas. If DeMarco Murray goes back to Dallas, he could be right back up in the top five. Hands down. No problem. But also new coaches coming into Philadelphia that might actually utilize him.
It might be okay with black players.
Yeah.
Ooh, I didn't think about that.
Which you might need to be if you're a coach in the NFL.
National.
All right, so
Football League.
I'm going to take it away. In no order.
Okay.
I will say I'm going to put DeMarco Murray, and I talked myself into it. DeMarco Murray, Doug Martin, Todd Gurley, Jamal Charles. And that's, I guess, AP. I don't know about Freeman. Freeman's the one I'm worried about.
Or Bell.
Bell. I'll put Bell over AP because we can't have AP.
Bell? Oh, Le'Veon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I was thinking of the Denver.
But yeah, Devontae Freeman,
I'm a little worried about him, too.
I mean, the end of the season, he tapered off. Granted, he still is catching passes, which was huge. Yeah.
But he's a rookie, too, guys. So that's
second year.
Yeah.
So he did not have the second-year slump.
Well, he didn't have a first-year awesome, either.
No, he didn't.
So.
Yeah, he's... Even though I have him ranked highly, he could just as easily be on
my bus. No CJ?
Nope. Definitely not.
Tight end.
No Arian Foster either. Oh, wow. Or
thanks
Mark
for listening to my running backs.
Go for it, Tim. Great. Sorry. I apologize. No.
I think I can go Gurley 1, Freeman 2, Johnson 3. Damn it. It's so weird after this. I guess Martin 4. I don't know. It's like running back's such a shit show. Here's what's interesting. So, no, like, the Le'Veon Bell, Jamal Charles.
Peter did.
Oh.
Peter.
What about D'Angelo Williams? Like, he had such a great year, and you kind of think...
He'll get some carries, but...
I mean, I almost feel like what's...
Look at Kansas City.
Yeah.
That was my only worry that I would have is...
If I were to bet on any of those guys coming back and having a year, I would bet more on Charles because he does so many things out of the backfield that can work in that offense. Mm-hmm. So I would put him above, even though Le'Veon Bell catches a lot of passes, but Williams' presence means that Bell could be a 50-50 back next year, which would be interesting.
I don't think Le'Veon did it all before
he got hurt.
I don't think that he will unless he has to become a 50-50 guy.
The production for Bell and D'Angelo was almost identical.
Yeah.
It really was. It was amazing how identical it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is
D'Angelo under contract next year?
It was a 2-year deal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't see him. I actually have a list of guys who were in contract years this year, and he wasn't on there. So he did your five. That was your fifth.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Johnson was my third, so I wanted to make sure I got him in there. But yeah,
also, quick note to Matt Keiser: it would behoove you to give me something for D'Angelo Williams.
It would be smart. I would.
And a note for Robin: it would behoove you to give me something for Tim Hightower.
Probably, yeah.
And it would.
We're done.
Tight ends. I was like, Odell Beckham Jr.
Tim 1, Pete 2, surprisingly Joe 3, Robin 4.
For tight ends?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is that surprising? What does that supposed to mean?
Tight end, it's kind of like, come on.
All right, so one, Gronk.
Can we just skip one? Because I think we all have Gronk.
I have Greg Olsen as two.
Can we skip two also?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Three, I have Gary Barnage.
Whoa, over Tyler Eifert? Woo! Really? Over
Tyler Eifert.
Wow.
And then four, I have Jordan Reed.
The Jordan Reed, Kirk Cousins hookup is real.
And then five, I have Delanie Walker.
Okay. He had a great year.
So no Eifert?
I have him on my fringe.
And no Kelsey.
You want to know what I think is going to happen? And Joe touched on this. I think that you're going to see Alex Smith throw a little bit more to Macklin. I think that they got something going. And I think that...
He made that Vernon Davis connection.
Did Eifert drop off towards the end of the year, or did he...
He got hurt.
Yeah, that's right.
He got hurt. That's all it really was.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, we're going to have to throw to somebody else. How about this guy that was really good?
AJ Green? Is that?
So, yeah, go ahead, Robin, with your...
So, my 1-2 are exactly the same. I had Eifert third. So, I had Gronk, Olsen, then Eifert. Mostly because I was mad at him most of the year because I felt they should have been AJ Green touchdowns. Especially in week one.
Oh, that
or
was the
Giovanni Bernard touchdowns.
And two. And three. And, like, a lot. It pissed me off. Gary Barnage, because I own him, even though Cleveland scares the crap out of me.
Yes.
Barnage technically was the second, the third. Was it Olsen or Barnage? I can't
Barnage
remember.
Just beat out Olsen.
I think so,
but not
yeah.
by much.
And then Jordan Reed and Kirk Cousins got something going on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So if that continues, that's a...
if Jordan Reed can stay healthy.
Kirk Cousins, formerly of the Fighting Sponges. Because you're not going to keep him.
Nope. I would have Robin's.
You can draft him.
I would have Robin's list, except I would flip Barnage and Reed. I think Reed, like next year, you want to talk about a breakout guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like Reed could approach Gronk. That's how crazy it could be.
If he's healthy, he gets hurt every year.
Yeah, but if he stays healthy.
And concussion issues.
Yeah, I mean, he could approach Gronk. That's how good he's been these last 6 weeks.
Was he in his second year? Hasn't he had three concussions?
And I'm going to enjoy watching Kirk Cousins throw touchdowns to him next year on my team. It's going to be awesome.
When you draft
him. When you draft him in the fourth round.
No, I was going to keep him in the 15th.
Not going to happen.
It's gonna
sorry.
It's
going
to
be
awesome. Happen.
Hey, was he dropped by somebody when I picked him up during the playoffs?
No, but you put a waiver claim through when waiver claims weren't allowed.
Well, it wasn't so much that they weren't allowed. They were allowed in the league.
Ah!
But Elliot had announced on Slack that once players went on waivers, that was it. And so it affected how other people would not have made claims.
Anybody else put in claims.
So, like, nobody else made claims. So
I think he's going to be on my team this year.
That's why Elliot is going to invisible hand drop him from your team.
He's
going to
be on my team.
I won't be.
If it was going to happen, it would happen. Has happened, he's on my team.
Yeah, okay. It's going to happen. You want to put a drink on that? You owe some drinks from some bets, by the way. We do have.
Is there any booze in this garage? What the fuck is going on here?
Moving on, top five sneaky players.
As a bunch of assholes.
My top five sneaky players. I will say this about Kirk Cousins: he could be a little bit of a paper quarterback. Look at his best games and what they were against.
All right. Anyways,
I'm serious.
I know he's doing that, but
then you can look him up, and then you can say. One of them was against the Saints, who every quarterback that faced them had won their top three games against. Kind of weak defenses. But I think that he'll be a fine top 15 quarterback next year. My sneaky plays for next season, my number one for quarterback, is Matt Stafford. I think that he could be actually a top five guy.
Jim Bob Cooter!
Yep. What if Calvin calls it quits?
He does just fine without Calvin. He really does with the way they mix up their running backs and also with their emerging tight ends. And then Golden Tate and I don't know whoever the heck they also have at wide receiver. They make it work somehow. And I don't think they'll miss him. I think he'll still be just as productive. I have Kirk Cousins as my number two. Also noted, this was a contract year for him. He's going to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see what happens. So... that's why I have him as a sneaky. He will be a top 15 guy if everything goes to play. Number three, I have Blake Bortles. I loved what he did this year, but I'm always a little bit worried about what's going to happen.
I don't think he's sneaky enough.
Next year.
I think he's firmly established.
I think Ryan Tannehill.
No!
Ryan Tannehill is my fourth ranked sneaky play. Still too many weapons on that offense.
Yeah.
And then my number five is Tony Romo, which is based solely on the fact of him staying healthy. If he's healthy, he'll be very, very good. He's an amazing fantasy football quarterback. Not an amazing elite actual quarterback, but in fantasy, whenever he's healthy, he has ungodly numbers. And those are my five sneaky quarterback plays.
Wait a minute, we're doing it for each position?
I had five sneaky plays. I was just thinking like one or two.
Yeah. I did this a little differently. I have five players that I think are sneaky value.
Go for it.
But I went at this from... I don't believe in the Pete Livingston give up all my secrets in the world podcast for other people to listen to.
I still make the playoffs every year anyway.
What I did was I picked players that were very high draft picks that I think will be bargains because they had bad years.
That's perfectly fine.
So I think T.Y. Hilton will be a killer deal. I think Randall Cobb will be a killer deal. I think Jimmy Graham will rebound. I think DeMarco Murray will rebound. And at quarterback, I think Sam Bradford is going to be a steal, either undrafted or in the last five rounds.
I thought he was going to be a steal this year for me.
So,
and he wasn't. Sad face.
I think he's gonna make a rebound. So those would be my ones. I think that T.Y. Hilton and Randall Cobb in the third round next year is likely, and I think they will be excellent choices in that spot. Jimmy Graham, who knows where Jimmy Graham goes? Could be fourth round, something like that. That will be a killer deal. And DeMarco Murray is probably a second round pick at this point, unless he goes to Dallas.
I think it also depends on who comes in to coach too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, if someone comes in that has run,
a traditional offense, with one running back and pound the ball, yeah. So
yeah, I mean, if Shanahan comes in, you might put a thought into that.
So, but for I was basing on drafted third. Right. And even if he goes. But I think that Murray could be a great second round pick for someone. So
I think Lamar Miller is a very sneaky pick for next year. He quietly had a very good year for a team that really wasn't that great offensively. And I think that if he gets a better offense around him, that he's gonna have a great year.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say Brandon Cooks takes the leap. I know he had a good year this year, but it wasn't the year that everybody thought he was going to have. And so I think that if you get one more year with Drew Brees with him, I think that he's got a chance to kind of really take a leap and be a top 10 wide receiver in an already loaded group of wide receivers. I have a question. Anybody put Tyler Lockett as a top 5 wide receiver for next year? Or do you think he's not sneaky?
I thought about it, but
a sneaky pick or a top 5?
See, it's weirdly weird because I want to say he's a sneaky pick because he only had like 40 catches this year.
I tried to avoid players that were kept on this list just because they're not a sneaky pick because someone's going to keep them with a 15th round pick sort of thing.
Well, so, I always think of this in terms of production. If we're talking in value, there's umpteen.
Really all that it meant to me. So I tried to look for value that wouldn't hurt me.
Why am I blanking on his name now? The wide receiver from New England.
Amendola or Edelman. Amendola.
No. The other guy that came on late.
We'll go to think of it. Let me know if you.
What's his name?
Not LaFell, right?
Not LaFell. No, the other guy.
Been in the garbage forever.
God damn it!
Do you have any people that you consider to be sneaky picks for next year?
Not in the sense that we're kind of putting around. I think there are
or undervalued people that will definitely produce well. If you have anyone.
No, I mean, I think in a non-fantasy sense, I think in like an NFL sense,
sure.
There are, I think, and these are all keepers and mostly on my team, I think Hyde has a really good chance. If he has a healthy year.
No chance.
You don't own him anymore. He's not going to get hurt anymore.
I don't care about him not getting hurt. I care about there being an actual football team that resembles something that can play an NFL level in San Francisco next year. Or Santa Clara.
That could be a problem.
That said, should we go to running backs?
Well, the name Keyshawn Martin. I think...
You just like him because he has Keyshawn Johnson's first name.
Basically.
And then Kenyon Martin's last name.
No, I don't. Kenyon Martin. What? Curtis Martin. Who else is son?
You guys forgot Quentin Patton so far.
What about DeAndre Smelter?
What about Shane Drone? Like, really? Like, are we going to...
Dude, you laugh. Maddie's probably going to keep Drone.
So for running backs, I have my number one sneaky pick. Because, Thomas Rawls is my number one
sneaky. I don't think he's sneaky anymore. I think he's going to take over next year.
Well, he's going to be kept, so no one can be sneaky about it.
Well, who is Elliot's going
to be? Elliot's
got him. 15. Come on, Dan. Anyways. Not so
sneaky. Number two is Amir Abdullah. Well, I didn't put keepers into this at all. I'm just saying who I think overall would be sneaky plays for next year.
But Jim Bob loves him some theoretic.
I don't understand he did not have a good season. He had a horrible season.
I agree.
He had a flash in the preseason.
This has nothing to do with this year. I think that next year he started to take on a little bit more of a focal point in the offense towards the end of the year. And I think that'll carry over to next year. He'll be a little bit older, a little bit wiser, and I think that he'll
start getting hair in some really weird places.
Basically. But I think that he will be a very good RB2 next year. Not saying he's going to be like a top 5 guy, but I think that he'll be a solid RB2 next year. Number 3, Tim will disagree with me. Joe will agree with me. Carlos Hyde is my number 3 sneaky play for next year. Tim is nodding.
Nope.
No.
Nope. Bro, they got a Pro Bowl left tackle.
Just run, pound the rock.
I forgot about that.
Thank Trent Brown has actually played really well.
That's true.
Yeah.
Number 4, because he is in Jacksonville. Another quietly really good running back. Good rookie. Hopefully he doesn't have a sophomore slump, but TJ Yeldon is my... Number 4 sneaky.
You mean quietly good, not really good.
You don't think Shoelaces is going to be like, yo, give me that rock?
No.
Okay.
No. Number 5, from your Denver Broncos, CJ Anderson.
That's terrible.
Who will be kept? I'm pretty positive.
That's terrible. In this league, he will be kept. Pick.
Well, he's going to be, yeah, 12th round pick. Why not?
He's going to bounce back next year. Peyton Manning's going to take some more HGH, come back healthy.
And it's four. The
receivers will love it, and C.J. Anderson will be a top 10 running back.
Yeah.
Why not? Doug Martin did it. Why can't he do it?
Sorry, I paused there to clean my pants because... Just,
did you just shit yourself?
Who has C.J. Anderson? He's a
Robin.
Oh, you do.
Okay. That was a 12th round pick.
There you go. Anybody else? No? I can just go.
Well,
you can't. Yeah, I already blew my wad.
Yeah, we already blew all ours. So.
Once with my actual picks, and the other time was for C.J. Anderson being a top 10 running back.
If Peyton Manning comes
back. So who has a better season right now? Hyde or C.J. Anderson?
C.J. Anderson, definitely.
I would say C.J. Anderson.
C.J. Anderson.
At this point in time, I would say C.J. Anderson would have a better year than Hyde. Unless they play the Vikings every week. Then.
Have you seen their schedule? That's exactly what's happening.
For some reason, the Niners have played Minnesota 16 times.
Yeah, he's
going to
run for 4,000 yards.
And all at home. Yeah. I don't know.
And Trent Dilfer is going to call all the games and gush over how great Colin Kaepernick is.
So my wide receiver, sneaky plays for next year, my number one sneaky wide receiver is DeSean Jackson. Because as long as Kirk Cousins is his quarterback, he puts up good numbers. It's been that way for the past 2 years. And as long as he doesn't get hurt on the sideline somehow in the preseason
doesn't
game,
pull a hammy in practice during the preseason.
Don't do stupid stuff and he should be just fine. Number two, I have Golden Tate. I think he's going to take on a bigger role. And even though he wasn't necessarily, you know, like a top five guy, or maybe he was a borderline top 10 guy, I think he'll climb up a little bit more, flirt with that's maybe an eight spot is kind of where I see him. And I say this guy, Doug Baldwin is my number three guy. I still don't think he gets the respect. Everybody's like, oh, man, he had a great year. But... again, he's not going to be on anybody's top five list. He probably won't get drafted until late second, you know, maybe in third in some leagues. I just don't think people are necessarily sold on the Seahawks and their passing game. But I think that if they do what they should be doing, Doug Baldwin should be a really, really, really good wide receiver.
And will be kept by Marcos.
Yep.
My number four is Kevin White. From Chicago.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting pickup next year.
Elliott has him on his team.
Still?
Also be kept. Yes.
Yeah.
Didn't he draft him?
Nope.
Nobody drafted
him. Nobody drafted him.
Oh. I know that he was out the entire year, but...
yeah, some of us were doing better and couldn't afford to spend a roster spot on him, so...
had to use, like, three roster spots for running backs that never played.
I just think that they're going to be fine. Chicago's going to be fine at running back. They'll have Alshon Jeffrey. If Gary Barnage doesn't
Alshon Jeffrey's a free agent.
You don't think he stays in Chicago?
Maybe not.
And Gary Barnage, were you thinking Martellius Bennett?
Wow, wouldn't that be incredible if Gary Barnage was Martellus Bennett? Oh, God.
And then my number five wide receiver... who I just think has to have it's another Philly guy. Jordan Matthews, I think, has to have a bounce back year.
Please, Jesus. Please.
It was just weird seeing how horrible he was this year. I just don't see how somebody can just fall off.
He had hand injuries early in the year that caused a lot of drop passes.
And he didn't have Backlund to take the heat away.
Yeah, that's true also. And he's not as good as Macklin.
Yep.
No.
And but he came on late in the year, so...
he got a lot of
maybe
good garbage time touchdowns.
Tons of them. It was
damn it
pretty.
but I think that people are going to be really low on him. But I think that he's going to have a really nice bounce back year. I just don't see him doing what he did this year again. Hurt hand or not.
Baby Jesus.
Yep. And I'm praying for Josh Gordon.
Right? Don't smoke pot, Josh.
Or drink.
Don't do anything.
Don't do none of that.
Make money and play football.
Yeah. Just score touchdowns.
He's probably going to dip into something new. Like
mine.
Down. That's fine.
Dip.
Get into them.
Mine is Tavon Austin.
Yeah. I was thinking Tavon, too.
Yeah, he's...
He's getting real close to being able to carry that wide receiver slash running back.
Yes. Which I will be loving life if that happens.
Somebody has to.
I would be loving life if that
happens.
Whatever.
If you play him anyways, you're going to play him as a flex. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah. I mean, I unfortunately had to play him as my number two receiver in week 16.
I had to start Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, that's right.
Dude, if there's a situation in which you had to start Tavon Austin at running back, you'd be hard up.
Yeah, that'd be big.
You were real close to that.
I was so close. You remember the Slack? I asked, hey, Elliot, what does it look like if Tavon Austin gets enough carries at running back? It's like, I wanted it to happen. I wanted that flexibility.
Really quickly, I'll go through my tight ends. I have Eric Ebron from Detroit as my number one sneaky tight end. Hopefully he comes. I don't know. I just think with what they're doing now, I feel like their offense is clicking a lot better, and I think that he's going to have a really good year. And I think Zach Ertz is finally going to do what we think Zach Ertz is supposed to be doing. So he's my number two sneaky play. Jason 3 is my sneaky play at tight end also. Jason Witten.
I was going to say Jason 3. Who else is Jason 3? Yeah.
Jason 3. Third, Jason Witten.
That dude's out of gas, man.
When Tony Romo's there...
He still was out of gas, dude. No. He was gassing out last season.
I think that he can still be a borderline... Again, it's not saying a lot with tight ends.
You would never, ever have.
He can flirt with that top five spot if that offense is healthy.
No way. No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Why not?
He's out of gas, dude.
I don't know,
His body is failing him.
I don't know. Then you're not going to like my number four, which is Antonio Gates.
I like Gates way better than I do Witten.
Yeah. Who's also super old.
Who still catches touchdowns.
Yep.
Because he has Phillip Rivers as his quarterback.
Yeah.
It's better when you have Tony Romo as your quarterback.
I don't even put them on the same plane.
You should go look up the past few years of Jason Witten.
I totally know the past few years. I'm talking about this year and last year.
Last year he was fine last year.
Was he though?
Yeah. For 2014?
He was like Alfred Morris consistent. He was not good.
Yeah, he was fine.
I actually owned him at one point last year.
Yeah,
so
I did
Joe.
Too. Yeah.
So I remember he was a top 10
guy.
He's going to score 14 points. No, it's 7.
Yeah.
Six,
he was a top 10
five.
Tight end.
Yeah,
again, it was Gronk and then Antonio Gates. And this was 2014. Jimmy Graham and Greg Olsen, Martellus Bennett, Kobe Fleener. Hi, Kobe Fleener.
Right, but top 10 tight end doesn't mean that much. Listen to the names you just read off that were ahead of him. I think it's there's four spots, five spots for a tight end, and then after that, it's a huge fall off.
It was Gronk, who had 184 points, and then 30 points below him was Antonio Gates.
Totally.
And then 10 points behind him was Jimmy Graham. Then 10 points behind him was Greg Olsen. And then everybody else kind of bunched together. It was 5-point difference.
So, but that from one to Witten is an 80-point.
Well, if
more
you're in
spread.
A if you're in a 12-team league, and you have a top 10 tight end, you got to be fine with that. I mean,
but it's also so. Think about this too. So Witten, and you said it yourself, Witten is quarterback dependent.
Yeah, totally. So is Dez Bryant.
Right, but a lot of those tight ends that you might say are outside of the top five aren't. So I just...
Aren't
as dependent on their quarterback.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I've never seen Rob Gronkowski get thrown to from anybody else. I've never seen Antonio Gates get thrown to by anybody else. We've seen Jimmy Graham in Seattle this year. Greg Olsen's been
Graham's
fine.
Way out of that.
Martellus Bennett is just, when he's healthy, he's fine.
First half of the season, you want a first half of the season with Martellus Bennett.
And then he usually gets hurt. And then I don't know what happened to Kobe Fleener.
Anyways, back to what I was saying. I don't put Gates and Witten even close to each other.
Okay. I just don't see how you can just say that Jason Witten isn't that good of a sneaky tight end with what's out there. I don't. I disagree with it. I'm not saying
But then you came back to say that he was a top five tight end. No way.
No, I said that he would with flirt.
Romo. No.
He was a top 10 guy with Romo
2 years, ago.
And then this year, there was no Romo.
And what did he do horrible. When Romo wasn't hurt?
Nothing. Oh, no, when Romo wasn't hurt. Oh,
that's what I'm saying.
That's good. That's
confusion, good. Sadness, silence. This is the Dynasty Podcast.
It actually accurately describes everything that I'm going through right now.
Because you don't have any more beer?
Yep.
Game one, Jason Witten really had 18 points. And then Philly was when he got hurt?
I don't know.
I think.
And you're asking me to care about a Dallas Cowboys player, so I don't know.
Yeah, I'm also not really fully invested in this.
Okay. Then he had 11 points last week. Very nice. But yeah, I still think he's going to be a sneaky play as long as they have a healthy offense. And then Jimmy Graham is my fifth play. I think that he will not be drafted in the second round. I think he might be a third or even a fourth round guy. With Tyler Eifert and all these other people that are just flourishing, I think that he will become a little undervalued and that he'll come back and have a very good year. I don't think he'll be a monster like he used to be, but I think he can be like a 800-yard guy and 8 touchdowns.
Sure. Yeah.
So those are my tight ends.
I believe in that.
People that I'm scared of, Doug Martin, contract year, and he hasn't been very good. That kind of scares me a little bit. I don't know if he'll do what he did this year by getting paid. I'm also worried about for QB Ryan Fitzpatrick, who when he came in was very, very good, and I think that he could be one of those guys that people could lean on. But again, another contract year guy. I could see him sucking next year and then getting replaced by Geno. And then wide receiver, I don't know. I don't know if there's anybody really in the top five, top ten that you could really be worried about because they're all good. Tight ends, nobody I'd be really worried about. But yeah, those are kind of my two big ones for people I'm worried about, unless anybody's worried about
busties.
Anybody.
Are we on the busties?
Yeah.
Bust.
I brought it up way earlier. Devontae Freeman?
Yeah.
It could be, yeah. I think
David Johnson.
Yeah.
I don't know about David Johnson. Devontae Freeman, I could see.
I hesitated to put David Johnson in a bust category because, again, I was thinking about keepers and the minimal, you know, price that Tim's going to pay for him. So it's hard for a 13th rounder to be or a 15th rounder to be a bust.
No, he's not. He's
an 11th rounder.
Still. Whatever it is.
I think CJ was a bust at a 14.
Yeah, but still, no.
Yeah, but think about who you can draft in the 14th round. Yeah. You can draft
typically that's a kicker or a defense or, you know, whatever. So for me, it's hard to label even a poor performer. It's just like it was
the opportunity cost. Yeah, I'm thinking of it more like the hype.
Yeah. For me, it's like someone that's going to be drafted highly that performs like a 14th round pick rather than a 14th round pick that performs like a 14th round pick.
Right.
So, I think there's a good chance that Marshawn Lynch goes to a different team and does not have a great season. Yes. Because he's not in a balanced offense and he's getting old as a running back. And I also think that Larry Fitzgerald has way too much talent around him and that he might become third fiddle in that offense and become a possession receiver that is, you know, 750 yards and 4 touchdowns or something like that, rather than the monster year that he just had.
He becomes Anquan Boldin.
I think that's distinctly possible. Those are the two that I thought of as kind of potentially high, you know, first round out of Marshawn Lynch is definitely on the schedule again. And with Larry Fitzgerald, he was a third round this year. He had a second round year. So who knows what happens with him. Maybe he gets drafted late in the second round by someone who thinks that he's going to be worth it. I think that John Brown and Michael Floyd are the future in that in that offense, and that he might not be worth it.
And he was very reliant this year on – I'm trying to bring up
– Well, they didn't really have a healthy tight end like the whole season too, right?
No, they didn't really.
So like they, you know, get a healthy, decent tight end too, that takes even more away.
Mm-hmm.
he also had a very weighted in the beginning of the year. He had, like, two monster games. Yeah. He had, like, a four-touchdown game or something.
Yeah.
And so the stats are kind of...
And by that same respect, I drafted Larry Fitzgerald in the third year in 2014, or in the third round in 2014, and a lost year from Carson Palmer meant that Larry Fitzgerald was nearly worthless.
Yes.
So it is definitely dependent. All those dominoes fall. Nobody cared about John Brown or Michael Floyd or Larry Fitzgerald last year.
No.
Because they were catching passes from John Skelton and I forget who else. But right. Like three different people.
Yeah.
So it's really the linchpin is Carson Palmer with that. When Carson Palmer's in, there's really not much of a bad play in that offense. But from wide receiver standpoint.
Word.
Anybody else? Final podcast before we sign off.
Nah.
No more busts?
Nah, son.
Looking forward to 2016. Hopefully you guys enjoyed our year this year, following our antics, our shenanigans.
And our sadness.
And our sadness. We'll probably start this up again around...
I'm not sad.
Start this up around July, probably, once things get crack-a-lackin'.
And this will be the only time I say this? Three-peat's coming.
Dude.
It's not going to be the only time he says that.
That will not be the only time he says that.
It's really going to happen.
That's
like,
a lie.
He might even say that before the podcast.
That is a straight-up fib, son.
Joe is starting a podcast called The Three-Peat.
Yeah. Well, that's after next year.
Yeah. All right. Thank you all for listening. Like us, share us, do all the stuff that Tim tells you to do.
Send us pictures of titties.
Yes, please.
All the titties!
Like, well, yeah, whatever.
Okay, yeah, sure. Well, the good titties. Not
preferably
the
nice,
titties.
But, you know.
We're not picky.
We're not picky,
no.
Could be in the tenderloin, whatever. We gotta go.
yeah, we do.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next year. In, like, 5 months. 6 months.
Yeah.
7 months. Something.
Something.
Goodbye.
Hey, if you want to keep following Los Livingston Brothers, you can see us on Facebook. Just go to the Los Livingston Brothers fan page. Give us a like, leave comments, all that good stuff. And on iTunes, make sure to subscribe and also give us a nice, pretty-looking review and throw 5 stars up on us because we are like a Rob Van Dam frog splash because it's the 5-star frog splash. On top of that, if you don't use iTunes to listen to your podcast, you can also go to loslivingstonbrothers.com, click on the radio shows tab, and you'll be able to listen to all the shows dating back to our very first show at KCY in 2011.
Man, that's a long time ago. I'm old.